Well, we're on again. Alas.
We're back.
And we are just full of ourselves with incompetence. But we're here and live, and we praise God. Because even in the most complex of circumstances, things can get done when you humble yourself or get humbled, huh? We have. This is Paul Muller. Got Phil here with me. Got Brad sitting behind me. We're going to look at some stuff. I think we'll probably try out John chapter 8 a little bit. It is one of those passages where, you know, the first time the Lord showed me anything in this, nobody, when you're just, you know, reading through this, and now Moses commanded us that, you really, if you hear it in a monotone, you're not getting what's going on. And it's kind of like where Jesus is clearing the temple, the money changers. This is probably not one of those things where he went through there going, "You are a bunch of jerks." He's yelling pretty loudly and being pretty violent. And most of today's passivity-driven, wanting people to like us, Christians who are selfish, would never raise their voice or act in such a violent way because...
It'd be inappropriate behavior. It'd be inappropriate behavior for the bride of Christ.
Yeah, that's right. So, we're going to look at... probably let's start in verse 2 on chapter 8 there. Phil?
John 8. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought him unto a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act."
Okay, hang on. Now they're real proud of themselves there. And they're going to try and see what Jesus says about this. And this is all about trying. It's trying him to see if they can bring him up on any charges. And there's no indication here that the woman wasn't guilty. But, you know, Jesus is trying to show them that their religion is worthless. They need a relationship and to understand the will of the Father, to love God and love one another, and to be extenders of reconciliation between, agents of reconciliation between the Father and sinners. I hearken back to the Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Reconciled, but here he comes to reconcile God and man. I mean, that's what the ministry of the gospel is about. These people were about the religion and showing themselves to be practicing their religion in a perfect and respected way. But that religion doesn't bring you righteousness. That's not how you get righteousness. We talked about in service today, righteousness was reckoned to Abraham because he believed.
Amen.
Wasn't his righteousness, it was God's righteousness. And all God required was that he believe.
Amen.
So this is where this is taking us. So let's start again with the reading.
Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at him."
All right. So, we're going to The law commands us that she should be stoned. So are you going to do what Paul did with Stephen and help us throw some stones, or are you just going to sit there and justify her? Well, I'm going to sit here and justify her, pretty much what's going on here. They said, as they started off the accusations, he started to look disinterested. Why? I don't really care. So he's just sitting there, his fingers. And I've heard some speculation about what he's writing on the ground. Well, John doesn't tell us. So speculation is kind of irrelevant. Well, all you need to know is that they didn't let him go. They wouldn't let it go. They continued asking him. I forgot where I stopped you.
You stopped me at 7.
7. They continued asking him, and he lifted himself up, and he said, "He is without sin among you. Let him. You be the one. You be the perfect. Fine. One of you that has not ever done anything wrong. Go for it."
Yeah,
and you know, he was the only one in that group that could say he was.
That's exactly what I was getting. He was the only one that did not have sin among them, which in itself kind of proves that, because he said what he said. He said
they didn't do what they didn't do, but we haven't read that yet. So,
but yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, he said. They make a true statement here in 5. Now, Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? And they didn't mean to be right, but they're making a differentiation between the law as applied to man and God, because in another place, Jesus got on the Pharisees. He said, "Oh, you tithe mint and anise and cumin, but you've overlooked, what is it, love, mercy, and the weightier matters of the law." And so Christ, as God, not that they wanted to know that, he stood above his own law, the written word, and he stood in the spirit and the intent of the law, which has always been reconciliation and mercy. And that's right. What he showed them.
In another place, it says, you know, "You hypocrites, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel."
Yeah.
You got the details, and you missed the point. So that's
You're
the point.
Like us.
Yes.
You know, the other thing is interesting. If she was caught in the very act, where was the guy?
Well,
they didn't stone the guy.
They didn't stone the guy.
But
the guy may have been one of them, too.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to stone them.
But that's, I mean, that's, we were talking about how God's good. That's how merciful he is. The only one that could actually rightfully pick up the stone and do that and cast that at her.
Mercy.
But he extended mercy.
And starts to excoriate the lawyers here. All right, so I stopped you. Didn't 8? I stop you at 8?
Yeah. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience.
They were guilty. Dave, imagine that.
Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, something interesting here is when he said that, they said it.
I don't recall telling you to stop. Okay, that's all right. Go ahead.
I can keep going.
No, tell me what you're going to say.
Well, I was looking at this, that they were convicted in their own conscience.
Yeah.
They knew they had sin among them. Start with the eldest, because he's been around here longer.
They didn't admit it, but their actions admitted it.
Their actions admitted it. And, you know, just that very word that he spoke brought conviction to them, which they needed.
That's why he spoke that way.
Which they needed, because, you know what? They need that mercy, and they need that grace just as bad as she did.
That's right.
Want me to go to 10 now?
Yeah.
When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more."
So, he had the ability to stone her, and he extended grace and mercy and just said, you know, you want to keep away from this adulterous thing. Don't do it anymore, Brad.
Yeah, he's the reason they walked away. The Pharisees, it says of the word that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even the whole, the soul and the spirit, as I recall.
Hebrews.
And Christ, as the living word of God, spoke to these men the word of God, and it did just what it's supposed to do. It showed them the intent of their heart.
Yep.
And then with her, this is the pattern for all humanity. He says, does any man condemn you? And she said, no. And he said, neither do I, which is the same thing he says to us that receive him. Neither do I condemn thee. And then go and sin no more. You need to repent. You need to turn.
Right.
And that repenting.
Loving God and loving one another.
But what you see is here is he says, go and sin no more. You know, that repenting is a changing of mind of the way I was doing things to your way, Lord. That's what repenting is a change of mind. You know,
and in so doing, admitting to the Lord, you're right, Lord.
Hey, yeah.
I'm guilty. So,
there's one thing that she needed to hang on to both of those sayings. But yeah. That one, neither do I condemn thee, that's the one that matters.
That's the one, yeah.
You know, all the others, no matter what, if they were ready to condemn her or not, it didn't matter. This is the one that matters. Neither do I condemn thee. You know.
Okay, the people that he had not run off at this point, he starts talking to again. He's just run off the accusers. And then we start with verse 12.
Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true.
All right, stop there for a minute. Okay, we got the woman brought to him in adultery was this really just a setup to where the rest of the chapter is going. The rest of the chapter is an upbraiding of everything that they understood about how to relate to God, because all of what they had was a measurement of between themselves and their law, which gave them justification. It just didn't make them righteous. So, we've heard this before. We've heard John chapter 1, verse 12, is spoken of, I am the light of the world. That's in John chapter 1, right?
Yeah.
And it's at least a second witness. I don't know, there may be other times before this, but he says it, and he says it again, and he says it again. And in this chapter, there are a couple of doctrines established. There are a couple of doctrines that were their traditions, that were good traditions, that he cites. But he is meticulous, and he crafts this in a way that shows them that they have not got the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law was to become an instrument of reconciliation between God and man. I'm done. I can't do this. It doesn't work. I'm guilty. And all right, somebody, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah, and that woman was still there in verse 12. So yeah. He's told her, I don't condemn you. Turn, repent, stop acting like you're acting. And then in 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
That's right.
And
he tells her how to do it.
Exactly right. This is how you do it. It's like, and I love that passage where the angel tells Joseph, you're going to call that boy Jesus, Jehovah who saves, because he will save his people from their sins. And that same mercy that he extended to her in the beginning of their relationship is the same mercy that that he extends to us, and hopefully she got it right all the way through, and she's there waiting on us when we get there. You never lose your need for that mercy day by day.
Then verse 13, the accusations start again.
Yeah. They didn't all leave.
Yeah. Just those particular ones.
The accusers.
Read on 14.
Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go.
All right. Now, they said, this is you testifying about yourself. Anybody can say that. Right? He says, yes, I do bear record of myself, as you said, yet my record is true. I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going, and I know what I'm doing here, which is all coming up, but keep going.
You judge after the flesh. I judge no man.
Uh-oh.
And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone.
I can judge.
I have the right.
And your judgment is corrupt. The only judgment you know is after the flesh. Can any of these people standing around you measure up to the law as well as you can? Your traditions as well as you can? You know how to judge that. But that's the judgment of the flesh. That isn't righteous judgment. And your measuring device hasn't even got the right marks on it. So, you really have no method of measuring. Go ahead.
For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me.
All right. Now here's the citation, is that written in your law, the testimony of two men is true. So that's where we kind of get that.
Where two or more gathered.
Yes. The testimony of two scriptural witnesses. It's true. It's a truth. So, I bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. And what did he say to, who was it, Philip or Tim? Philip?
Thomas.
Thomas. He said, believe not.
If you believe not me, believe the very works.
The very works. That's right.
Because they testify of the Son.
And that I was sent of the Father. So, you know, it is the dual testimony here. The two witnesses of a truth. And that's by your law. So, simply on that, we're done. But they keep going.
Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also.
Ah.
These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come.
All right. So, they ought to. So, where is thy Father? Show me.
You know, what comes to my mind is a couple different fronts. You know, one where he goes, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. You go to 1 John in the very beginning where he goes, then he hath declared him. That's Jesus declaring what God looked like.
Mm-hmm.
What his facial structure are, what he looked like. And the other thing was, if you have known me, you would have known the Father also. You know that point where Peter says, who do you say that I am? It says, you are the Christ. And he goes, and then, the, you know, the Father showed you that.
Yeah.
The Father showed you that. You know, I mean, that whole point is, he got it.
Flesh and blood.
Well, yeah, he didn't get that from flesh and blood.
And that line of reasoning there, if you go to the colleges or the Bible cemeteries, what they'll teach you is that you see the evolution of God in the minds of man, because you had this Old Testament warlike God the Father, and then as the West developed and all that, then you've got this more civilized Jesus. But he's saying there, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. And as you were pointing out, Phil, he said that, you know, I and my Father are one. The works that Christ does, he testifies here, are the works that the Father has him do. So this heart of God that you're seeing Jesus manifest is the heart of the Father. If they had understood who the Father was, it's in the law, if you know how to read it, if you have eyes to see.
All through the Old Testament, the word of the Lord came to me saying.
Yeah.
Back to John chapter 1. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. I mean, who is the Word of God?
The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
That's right. So none of this stuff is hidden. All those prophets, the Word of the Lord came to me saying that they knew the Word. They knew Jesus Christ.
They knew Jesus. One God, same God.
Same God, same plan.
I am the Lord, I changed.
Same gospel. And where did the first indication of that? Back in Genesis, right? The voice of the Lord walking in the garden. Well, who's the voice of the Lord?
Jesus Christ.
Well, you mean Adam saw Jesus Christ?
Knew him.
Yes. Well, the gospel hasn't changed any. Was Adam before the law?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, was Abraham before the law?
Yes.
Well, it appears that the doctrine of grace and mercy and the ministry of reconciliation all predated the law. So how could the law replace it?
It didn't.
It never did.
Absolutely. The point that you were speaking earlier, Paul, is, and I guess now is the time to share what clued in on me, was that the law was the instrument used to bring reconciliation between the people and God. The reason why is because they hit their knees and say, have mercy on me, because I can't do this.
Right.
And that was the point of it.
Paul says, I'd have never known I was guilty.
Yeah.
Except for the law.
King David said, sacrifices and burnt offerings I didn't bring to you because that's not what you wanted. The sacrifices of God.
Now, how do you suppose David knew that?
David was a man after God's own heart, and Jesus spoke to him. He knew him.
Yeah. Yeah, you think? You know, and the idea that the New Testament and the Old Testament are two different stories, two different representations of two different personalities of God is absolutely not right. It's wrong. It's the same God. It's the same Word. It's the same gospel. It has never changed. I change not. Right?
Right.
Terrible, terrible. Not even the right wording of a paraphrase, but let's see. Where are we at?
We're at 20.
Ah. Jesus spake these words in the treasury. He's in the temple. He's not hiding anywhere, right? He's out in plain sight. All of this that's going to unfold, you know where it is. And it's the center of where they store their money, their wealth. So, let's go on.
I'll start at 20 again. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, and as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour is not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come.
Uh-oh.
Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come?
Hmm. No, as a matter of fact, you'll kill me. Well, we're not going to go there yet. They understood flawlessly, with perfect understanding, what he was saying. Not so much. Not so much. But the, you know, if this was said to me, I'm toast. I got nothing. I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. I can't have that. You know, if I'm them, I'm going, whoa, wait a minute. It's time. We need to talk some kind of different terms here.
You know, the beginning of the chapter, the beginning on 12, it says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That light of life is in Christ Jesus. And whether he is going, they cannot come because they don't believe on him.
Well, it's got to do with John 3:17.
Men prefer darkness rather than light.
Men prefer darkness rather than light.
And that's
and they're proving it.
Yeah.
Right here. Proving it. So, yeah, they're looking for some shade. They're looking for some cover is what they're looking for. They're not looking for the light. They're not looking to be exposed, purified, and cleansed. They're not looking for that. They like it. They like what they've got perfectly. They don't want to change it.
Well, that's why he says you'll die in your sins.
There you go. So he's actually telling the truth. So where are we going forward from here? What verse are we in now?
22.
There's two different numbers being spoken. Peanut gallery.
I'm sorry. It's actually 23.
Okay.
And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins.
All right. Let's hold up there for a minute. You suppose there was just trouble translating from the Greek into English here? I mean,
no,
I don't know. Well, you're from beneath. I am from above. What are you saying? They're from the world. Who's the Lord of the world?
Satan.
Yeah. When Jesus was tempted, did Jesus argue with him about whether this was up was all mine? And I'm standing here. He didn't argue with him about that.
Nope. This is saying this world's cursed and you're part of it.
That's right. And I said, therefore you shall die in your sins, for ye believe not that I am. Right?
Burning question.
He understood what he was saying there. And they understood what he was claiming there. I am. Okay, and that was enough there to get them irritated. But I am he. Ye shall die in your sins
if you believe not.
If you believe not,
you know. The way that I like looking at this and the whole thing is, you know, I like Noah's Ark. Because Jesus is that boat, is that vehicle up in eternal life with him in the body. You know, and it's by Jesus Christ that we are saved. And
every time he says, I am, it's a testimony against them.
And, you know, what they were doing was rejecting that.
That's right.
Just like the people outside of the boat saying, you're crazy. I don't want nothing to do with your boat.
Crazy old man.
Yeah,
that's exactly what they were doing and would not believe.
Rain.
What's that?
What's that?
And 23, he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. And these men that are from belief are taking God's word that he spoke, which to us is the Old Testament. But they were using their intellect and filtering it through their own pride and converting the true
into the lie.
He's still talking about their judgment. Their judgment being corrupt. It's of the flesh.
They took. He says back in 15, judge after the flesh.
I judge no man.
That's right.
And then he says in 24, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And that means to understand that Jesus is God is absolute bedrock to the Christian faith.
It's absolute bedrock of relationship and not religion. They were masters of religion, and God demands relationship. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know not. I knew you not.
You know, and that's where, you know, when he says you judge after the flesh, they judge after the flesh. They judge with that carnal mind. And he says, I judge no man, because he's not judging the man. It's just like where he says in 3:17, he says,
I'm judging somebody. Why would I judge somebody?
I didn't come into the world. Exactly. I didn't come in the world to condemn the world.
The world's condemned already.
And that's what he's talking about here.
Right.
And he's like, I'm the way out.
I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I'm the way, and my way is the way. All right, where were we?
25. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him.
All right. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. All right. Tongue's just not working at the same pace the brain is. And to some people, the brain may be in real slow motion.
You went there.
Yes, he did. They said to him, Who are you?
What kind
of a claim, I am he, if you don't believe I am he, well, who is this? Who is this he? Are you a lunatic? Have you lost your mind? They're still judging by that stick, just not graduating anything that's going to help them. It's go ahead.
Yeah, and it's worth pointing out here that he's talking to the same Pharisees that are going to do him in pretty soon.
Yeah.
And even though he knows what they're about, and he is no doubt angry, and this is a very animated conversation.
It hasn't started yet. The animation hasn't started yet.
He's trying to get these guys
worked up.
He's trying to get them saved.
Saved.
He said to the Pharisees, the word of God is nigh you in your own mouth and your own heart, if you'll let it be.
Yeah.
You see, Nicodemus got saved. He was a little slow off the jump.
Yeah.
And the testimony later on in, was it the Acts? Many of the Pharisees and the leaders, eventually, they did come around.
Mm-hmm.
So even though this is outright hostility back and forth, but his intent, like, and you see this in all the Old Testament.
Expose the hearts.
Expose you for your pride.
And the pride.
And bring you home.
Yeah. Nothing you're not just trying to pick a fight for the sake of picking a fight.
Nope.
He's provoking them.
He's
to love and good works, which are not the works of the law.
Amen.
So, let's see. So who is it you're claiming to be? Oh, I'm who I am. I've said from all along. Where you been? I've been saying this and that. Many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true. And you claim to know him.
That's who you claim to be serving in your religion.
That's right.
And I'm here right before you.
And you can't even recognize who I am.
And I only speak to the world, those things which I've heard of him. So if you call me a liar, you're calling him a liar.
And you're rejecting the one who you claim you're serving.
You're rejecting the one who sent me, not just me. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. 28.
Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things.
He's telling them what they're going to do.
Yeah. So when you lift me up, that's on that cross, you will know that I am he. Because let me tell you something, when that cross was lifted up and that whole world was, that whole sky was filled with black darkness and sin, and he took that, and that the ground shook and the temple was rent in twain and the people were raised from the dead.
How quick
that was not done in a corner.
How quick do you think Joseph of Arimathea was to offer him that grave? I mean, he's scared at this point.
You see in the guard next to him, he goes, oh my goodness, I forget the exact words. What was it?
Surely.
Surely this is the Son of God. What have we done?
Yeah.
What have we done?
And it was us that did it, too.
And you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things, and these things only. That's all I'm giving you. I'm giving you exactly what I've been given to give you. It's not mine, it's his. And we go back to Romans, and this is the love of God commended, that
While we were yet sinners,
while we were the enemies of God, he brought us reconciliation through the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son.
Amen.
And that's what he's trying to bring here. And there's some here who get it and some who get it later. But if he hadn't done it this way, and if he hadn't kept claiming to be who he said he was, and that the words that he gives are the ones that he's been given, they're not mine, they're the Father's.
If
he hadn't have kept sticking to that script and speaking that truth, then these people will die in their sins.
Yep.
So this was provocation unto love and good works.
Amen.
All right.
And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him.
Wow. That's a... What does 1 John say?
Keep his commandments.
1 John 2:6.
The walketh as he's walked.
Yeah.
I messed up that quote, but
if you believe in Jesus Christ, then we should walk as he also walked. And how did he walk?
Perfect obedience to the Father.
I do always those things that please him. Well, the first thing you got to know is how to please him. What is pleasing to the Lord? Why has he left us this word?
You know,
why has he given us the Comforter?
And that's why the first.
Why has he given us his line of authority?
So we can walk as he walked.
So we can learn to walk as he walked. So we can learn the things that please him.
And set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. And you know, that is the choice. That's why the first step is, God, forgive me. Because you can't do it in your own strength, in your flesh. You cannot please him. But you can do it by him in his strength and believing in
Hebrews 11:6. What does Hebrews 11:6 say?
Those that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe that he is.
And he's a rewarder of those
who diligently seek him. So it just starts where Abraham started. I believed you.
Yep.
And he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And you got to believe what he says. You believe him. You start here by believing what Jesus' testimony is. What was his testimony? I do only those things that please him. I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words and many believed on him. Many believed him. They didn't have to believe in him. They saw him. He was there.
They knew who he was.
They knew who he was. They had to believe what he said. They had to believe him. And that's what believing on him is. It didn't take anything for them to believe in him. They're standing there talking to him. He's right there.
But they believed his word.
Right. Okay.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Well, so he had a word for those who did believe. Now, how do you continue in his word?
You believe his word and do it.
That's pretty much it.
To continue in Christ's word is to believe it and to do it. And this verse here, this is highly misquoted. Everybody likes 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's all in the world. But that's not really what that says. He said, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then, now that you're doing that, now you're my disciple indeed. And since we've set this groundwork, at that point, you can know the truth, and then you can be free.
That means that you're studying to show yourself approved.
And you're submitted somewhere.
Absolutely. You are trying to find out everything that pleases him and trying to do it. You're doing it every chance you get it.
You know, and that's where that part of the submission that it's... We were talking in Hebrews, I think, 13. Paul, when we first did this, when I first came on Hour of Truth, and one of the things that it was saying is that he will work in you that pleases him. Mm-hmm. You know, you submit unto his way, he will work that in you that pleases him.
That's a
you know, and that's him doing the work there. That's that Holy Spirit doing that work on your heart that pleases him, and you just make the choice to submit.
You got to turn this heart of stone into flesh.
Where is their boasting then? There is none.
Absolutely. and where is it? Where in here is his goodness manifested? Right? He could have just said, "Man, y'all worthless. I'm done."
What is man that thou art mindful?
Yeah. So, you study to show yourself approved. You study, you learn to do what I want you to do, and do it every chance you get. And you shall know the truth. I'll show it to you. I will bring it forth in your heart and out of your mouth. I'll give you utterance. And you will be free. Free from what?
Sin.
Free from bondage to?
The flesh.
Free from the corruption of and the curse of the flesh.
This flesh.
The death. You are not what's in this package. You are not what's in this corruptness.
No, that's a dead man strapped to you.
That's all it is.
And you could be free from that.
They answered him. 8:33.
They answered him. We be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin.
All right, let's stop there and chew that over for a little bit.
You're feeding it, it's your cat.
I'm doing what?
He said, if you feed it, it's your cat.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty much the way that works. They answered him, we're Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man.
Yeah, ignore that Roman guard right there on the corner.
We're free.
Or that law hanging about your neck.
Our own arrogant pride makes us...
Jesus answered him, Verily I say, truly, truly I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is a servant of sin.
Well, you know, and I kind of go back to that saying, you know, I don't condemn the world because the world's already condemned.
Right.
You know.
But how are you offering me freedom when I'm born of Abraham? What is it you're trying to offer me here?
So that their prides tell them that they're free just because they're born of Abraham, that they're not bound to the same curse.
We're that great nation he was promised. Come on, man. Yeah. You committed your oracles to us, and we marched around pretending like we were doing what you told us to do and giving leaders after our own heart, and it hadn't worked out so well, has it? No. I haven't spoken to you in 400 years before now, as a matter of fact. How'd that work out for you? And those who knew him knew he was being silent during that 400 years. They knew what was going on.
Well, you take the promise was to Abraham, and you take that, and he did make a great nation, and he believed God.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the testimonies of Abraham is, surely I know Abraham will teach his sons my ways. And you know, and you go down the line, they went from a base group of people to show the Lord. You chose the base, Abraham, made him a great nation because they were base, to show the glory of God and how merciful and grateful he is. And then they turned it around to pride, that they were better than everybody else in the world.
Absolutely. Because that's the way we are. That's just the way we are. And so how is it, he says, how is, you say you made us free? They obviously didn't understand what the truth was.
And obviously, right. And you know, I mean, it gets me, is because they became a nation because it was him that promised Abraham, and he's standing right there before him, testifying of these things.
And whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abide not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. That was probably the next verse we started on. I don't know. But he's drawing here a distinction. The servant is only in the house when the master wants the servant in the house. When the master's done with him, gone. The son abideth forever. And if I've made you free, you're free indeed.
Free from sin.
Huh?
Free from sin.
Free from sin and everything after that. Free from the blood guiltiness of the sin, and free from the tendency toward pride and arrogance.
Because Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Right. This freedom he's promising is freedom from sin. It's freedom to serve him from the heart.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you're going to have perfect health and all
the
things.
And I read
the
next verse, and that's when I said that. Yeah. So where are we at now? And the next verse is,
I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you.
And this is where he's starting to pick up. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. I mean, this is not, I know you seek to kill me. He's starting to pick up the tenor of this thing just a little bit. You're seeking to kill me. Abraham wouldn't have sought to kill me. Abraham was seeking to serve me, to know me, to believe me. So, because my word hath no place in you.
You don't want to have nothing to do with me.
Yeah. You don't want the light. You don't want the truth.
You want your works of darkness.
You want to stroke yourself and your pride. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father.
Ouch.
Zing. Burn. How do you think he delivered that? Now, do you think, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father? I don't think so. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. And what were the works of Abraham?
To serve him, please him, believe him.
He believed him. And then he did what he told him. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Then, you just lied to me. You said you're Abraham's seed. You're not doing what Abraham did. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Is you deaf? I'm sitting here, I'm yelling at you. I'm trying to get you people to see. Abraham and you had two different motivations going on here.
He's fixing to break it down pretty good.
Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You think maybe he's talking like that? Probably, or you think he's reading that monotone thing, would you know?
No, he's talking like you were talking.
And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Which of you... Yeah, I already read that. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. What did I just say? You're of your father, the devil. This is that... I'm bringing you up to account here. I'm calling you to account. Right now is the time you need to make a decision.
And you know, he draws that line, the distinction of his father being the devil, and where he says that he was a murderer from the beginning. What are they trying to do? They're trying to kill Jesus.
Yeah.
And they end up doing that.
That's exactly why he brought that up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hath the devil?
It's funny how they answered him like that. Say we not well, like in question format.
And Jesus answered,
no,
I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. This is your day of account. This is the truth. This is the word. It's all about you. And it can't be all about you. It's got to be all about me and my word and my testimony and my revelation.
And there's a difference on what he sees as death is what we see as death.
That's right.
And there's a difference in what he sees as the children of Abraham. And this goes back to what we were talking about before. The line of Abraham was always by grace through faith. It was never
always
a matter of blood seed.
That's right. Absolutely right. So where were we? Never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Abraham's dead. You said he did what you wanted him to do.
They don't know what dead is.
They don't even have the fundamental understanding of what he's talking about. It's judging again by the flesh. Thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Again, who are you? What is it you're saying? Are you really saying you're who you say you are? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. I don't think we're going to finish this today. We've only got like 2 minutes. I'm going to try and get as much of this in as I can get. Yet you have not known him. But I know him, and if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad.
Oh, it's good. Here we go.
Then said the Jews to him, thou art not yet 50 years old and hast seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He's making it clear, crystal clear to him what he is saying he is. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And this is the love of God was try to provoke them to love and good works, and it provoked them. And some of them believed, but he had to love them. He had to prefer them over his safety.
Yeah.
And we all also ought to walk as he walked. And I can tell you, we've got like 45 seconds here. And I think, say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
We're going to send off the music. Scott Stevens is coming up next with the Jesus Factor. And we encourage you to stay tuned to the Eagle Radio Network and join us again next week.